Born new this instant, no past. Born new this instant, no past. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing in Campbell, California, and this is our thought for today. You say, well, we've already had a thought for today. Well, I oftentimes give several thoughts for today, because I think several times. Now, did you notice it's raining outside?
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely. That's another thought for today. But today, we have had a number of interesting traumatic events take place, and it is time to let them be past. As far as I'm concerned, they're past. Nothing has happened before this moment other than good and beautiful thoughts, good and beautiful ideas. I'm born new this instant. I have no past. So I don't know of anything in the past. I don't know of anything in the future. I only know in the present, and I'm living in the present, enjoying it. And I have one duty here, and that's the duty to be the dean, to prepare the lessons, the courses, and write things, and nothing else, absolutely nothing else. So, Ellen is the cheese, the crackers, and the potato chips, and everything else. And she is going to make decisions. Anybody has any request for anything at all, they ask Ellen. And I am not existing as far as offering advice for anyone on how they should do anything other than their spiritual life. If they have a question on their spiritual life, on how to think in a spiritual way, I'm there. If they're still in the relative, thinking in the relative way, well, then they talk to Ellen, because that's where she has trained herself to be for the moment. And one day she'll graduate from that too, and we'll find it most interesting who will take her place. So, born new this instant, no past. It's a wonderful thing to be born new, because then you're innocent. You have no responsibility for anything that ever happened in the past, or any words that were ever said, or any actions that were ever done, or any things, responsibilities that you did or didn't do. They're all gone. They're all basta, stopped, ended, kaput, no longer. How do we start living, being born new at this instant, when we are not a little babe in swaddling clothes? We're not in diapers. We're not walking around like an innocent little monkey. We're walking around like a big innocent monkey. Now, how do we handle the situation where we are? Well, I don't really care. I know how I'm going to handle it. And I'm going to handle it as I described to you. I don't know anything about anything. What was his name? Sergeant something on Hogan's Heroes. He was a very nice sergeant, a very cooperative sergeant, but he was a Nazi, and not a Nazi, but a German. And he was interested in maintaining the peace of the prisoner of war camp and having things done that his commanding officer tells him to do. But occasionally he'd look in and he'd see things happening in the prisoner of war compound that shouldn't be happening. And it's not bad, it's not good, but it shouldn't be happening. And so somebody would say something to him, "Did you see that?" "I didn't see nothing, I see that. I don't know anything. I saw nothing. I don't know anything." Remember that? And Sergeant, whatever his name is, he'll come. Real interesting guy. He became a fixture. He became a brickwork. He became a beautiful being. And, you know, during the show, you got to know the guy. You got to know that he has a wife and he has children. And he and his wife are not together because she's off running her life and he's off running the war. And so he's not a bad man. He doesn't go running after other women and things like that. But he appreciates a beautiful figure now and then, too. Now, Hogan, of Hogan's Heroes, would always tell the sergeant different things. And the sergeant would say, "How did you get something like that in here? How?" And Hogan says, "Well, we sent out a plane, and we had it brought in, and they brought it right to..." "Don't you tell me that! Don't you tell me!" Because that's exactly what he did. He had the underground, and he was working with us, and the sergeant just could not conceive of such a thing happening in the middle of the war, in the middle of Germany, having Allied planes landing in a field and picking people up and dropping people off and doing all these things in the middle of the war. It was just unbelievable, and in the middle of Germany, you know. How could they do that? Well, when you write a story, you can take a lot of liberties. You can take a lot of poetic license as you write these things. And it was incredible. It was incredulous. But it was conceivable. It could have happened the way they described it, because the German government wasn't just all that smart. They took all their smart people and sent them off to war and got them shot. And so all they had left over was the people who were too dumb to go out and shoot their guns. And so they lived to see another day. And that's true. That's true. They took the very finest of the German minds of the German people and sent them off to war and get them shot. But such is the way. Now that's all past. You said, "Herb, you said you weren't going to be living in the past." Well, I'm not. What I'm saying is the sergeant, "I don't know anything. I don't see anything. I just do whatever I'm doing here." And you got to go along with his innocence. You know he knows more than he says. And you know that he, if he were to say what he said, no one would believe him, because it would be incredible and incredulous. But that's the thing we want to make our life on. We want to build our life on the incredulous, on the unbelievable, on the unthinkable, on the unplannable. Not that it's what's that bad word, unthinkable, that it's not nice, thinkable, you know. It's an unthinkable crime. And that's not what we're talking about. We're thinking of the unthinkable dreams or illusions or imagination that we can possibly do. Now, a little boy says, "I want a horse." He doesn't care how that horse is going to get to him. He doesn't care how his dad is going to have to work for it, how he's going to have to build a corral for it, and have a pasture for it, and bring in feed, and have somebody curry the horse for the kid, because the kid's not old enough to do it yet. But the kid has programmed a horse. Now, will he have a horse? Yes, he'll have a horse. If he does not talk to too many people about it. Because if he talks to other people about it, he'll be talked out of his realization for himself. He'll be talked out of his innocent acceptance that it is so and now. And this is part of where we want to be. We want to be in that innocent acceptance of where we are now, without any thought for the future or the past, without any consideration for it, and just live in that. But now, living in that does not mean that we ignore who we are. You can't go walking down Main Street naked, because that's just not acceptable. You may think you're invisible, and you may very well be next to invisible. But until you can be like this Stanford student who went to class for a month and a half, stark naked, without any clothes, no shoes, no pants, shirt, shorts, nothing. And the other students just accepted him, because that was his acceptance of himself. He went to school. And then finally, somebody objected, and they went to the president of the school, and he says, "Well, we don't have any law against it, but, you know, yeah, you just shouldn't do that." And so they told the kid, "You know, if you want to graduate, you will have to put clothes on." And the kid says, "Is there any rule on that?" He says, "No, but we'll make one now." And so they made a rule that everyone had to have clothes on at attending the school. But Yeah, the girls, the boys, the teachers, everybody in his classes for, what was it, 90 days? Didn't even notice that he was naked. Or if they didn't notice it, they didn't even think about it. He had a normal body, he had a normal physique, he had normal genitals, he had normal everything. He was just ordinary. And no one thought a thing about it. Now, can you believe that? It's true. It was written up in the Berkeley Gazette, and it was written up in the newspaper in Berkeley and the newspaper in San Francisco. And nobody, it's incredible. But it happened. It was written up in several magazines, too. But how can that person do that? How can he have such absolute innocence and just walk out the door and not be seen? A friend of mine lived in a nudist camp, and her name was Jan Love. And she lived there with her teenage son. And then she was talking to me one time, and she said, you know, Herb, Sue, my neighbor, is a devout nudist. You know, she just doesn't think anything about clothes. She just goes, well, one day she got in her car and drove to the filling station. And it was a self-service. So she got out and started pumping gas into the car. And one of the guys who was from the nudist camp came up to her and said, Sue, you're not at home now. You're not in Kansas. And she looked at her, oh, boom! And she said, will you finish pouring the gas in my car? And then she drove back. But she was so innocent. Only one of her own people who is sensitive to that noticed it. Nobody else noticed it. Nobody else who is supposed to be sensitive to these things noticed it because she wasn't. Uh-huh. But he was sensitive because he was from the village. He was from the organization. And thereby, he lost his innocence because perhaps he wasn't fully addressed to the concept of nudism, you know, and how simple and beautiful and ordinary and normal it is. But this lady, she was embarrassed for him, not for her. And if she had seen him in the nudist camp, she wouldn't have thought a thing about it. But out there in public, you know, and you see, that's innocence. I'm not saying that any of you are ever going to be able to come up with innocence like that. You could. But you see, if you come up with innocence like that, you have absolutely, and I'm not going to say this word again, you have no judgment. You have no possession. You have no feeling of being touched by another being. It's just not in your vocabulary. It's not in your experience. You cannot be touched by another being. You live your life so beautiful, so wonderful, so for I am me, and I like me, and I'm number one. Not contrary to the rest of the world, but so pure in your own being that there is not another soul on the face of the earth that would find fault with you. If anyone finds fault with you, the flaw is in you. The flaw is in you. Now, it's very interesting. Very interesting. We have the opportunity to be born new this instant with no past. Some people might call that amnesia. But we can be born new with no past. But you see, it's not amnesia. We are like, with spiritual healing, there was no past. There was no previous self. Just this moment is the moment that we were hatched. This moment we came forth on the face of this earth. This moment. And no one remembers us, like in the show Being There. When he walked across the water at the end, nobody had any knowledge of his existence. That man had been raised by this wealthy man. He had never signed up for a driver's license. He never signed up for Social Security. He never did anything that would put him on record so that he would be of record somewhere. And you see, that's a spiritual being. And so, at the end, after he was seduced, not seduced, he was attempted to be seduced by a very charming lady, and so forth, and by money, and by everything, and he was not seduced by anything. He just was his own pure self. He said, well, he's a little cuckoo, too, you know. He just wasn't always with. Yes, that's right, he was cuckoo. He wasn't with the concerns and the anxiety and the worries that we have. We should all be so cuckoo like that. Was he a beautiful man? Oh. Was he a sensitive, caring man? Yes. Was he a man who needed other people in his life? Not at all. Was he a man who disrespected or disregarded other people? Not at all. He placed everyone on the same level of his own consciousness. And you say, well, he wasn't all there. Well, let that be a blessing that we could look forward to, not being all there, not being concerned about many-pointedness, not being concerned about touched by other people's attitudes. And other people are getting more attention than I'm getting, other people are getting more love than I'm getting, and and nobody's getting love. You are giving out love, and the love that you receive back is what you have given out. And if you don't give out any love, you're not going to get any back. You can't. You can't give me your love. You can only give me my love. I can't give you your love. I don't even know what your love is. I can only give you my love. And this is the way the principle works. I tell you. It's dried and cut, drawn and quartered, perfect, finished, nothing left to be done except to live in the purest of innocence, to live in the purest of awareness of who you are. Now, do you want to do that? And the answer is no. The reason that you don't want to do that is it's totally contrary, now let's leave the word totally again, it is contrary to everything you have been taught all of your life. You have been taught to make your neighbor first, think of your neighbor first. You've been taught to take care of your parents. You've been taught to be your brother's keeper. You've been taught to not steal. An innocent person wouldn't think of stealing, wouldn't think of taking something that didn't belong to him, wouldn't want something that didn't belong to him. An innocent person wouldn't know what illness is because he doesn't entertain illness. An innocent person doesn't know what being unhappy is all about because he is the one who makes himself happy. And he is no fool. He's not going to make himself unhappy. He just makes himself happy. Now, where do you stand on this wonderful pyramid? I've turned the pyramid upside down for you, but you didn't get the message. I've taught you from the top of the pyramid down, and you didn't get the message. I've given you every opportunity to know that you are pure innocence, the pure white-driven snow, unblemished by anything. But you won't accept that. You continually treat me as though I'm an imbecile. And I think that's beautiful. I love it. Because you don't think that I should give you advice in your human path. You don't think I should give you advice on your spiritual path. You don't think I should give you advice on any path. And that's right. I shouldn't. I should just live what I believe. And if you're watching, and you find what I do and what I believe and what I live is harmonious with you, well then go for it. And if you don't like it, then have your own philosophy. Have your own dreams, have your own goals, have your own desires. And when you do, you will owe no one anything, not even yourself. You will just be yourself and have fun. And that doesn't mean ignoring whatever role you choose to play. It merely means whatever role you do choose to play, play it 100%. Play it with all your heart. So, my dearly beloveds, born new this instant, no past. Kind of exciting, isn't it? So join with me on that wonderful adventure, and I'll take you along, and I'll show you. I'll show you.